live this time. All right, guys. Welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, please don't forget to show us some support. We are 100% fully funded by ourselves. No lizard people, no Illuminati. So if you can please show us some support with a subscribe and a like, that would be highly appreciated. We've got a packed show today. We're going to be discussing Kanye's comments and Alex's Jones and the subpoena on Donald Trump. We got lots to talk about. Please interact on the chat. Get the questions ready. We are watching. That means you trolls too. So
I just want to make sure that we are live. Can you guys please comment in the chat? Yes, Annabella. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Again, are we live? Can you guys hear us?
I think
thumbs up on the chat.
Yes, thumbs up. I made it on time. I think that there is, yes, 21 people watching. This is perfect. So I guess there's been a lot going on the internet.
Oh, let me turn this down.
Yeah, every single time that I look on Twitter, I look on Instagram, I look on Facebook or any social media app, it's just like a fire. Like, it's just chaotic, a hurricane. A little bit overwhelming, which is why we wanted to comment on everything that is going on live and on a video versus going on a story and then people just take things out of context and they start commenting and they don't wait for the full story and then they just get pissed. And it's been happening a lot. I think that the energy overall, I don't know if there's some weird stuff in the ether.
But I don't know what the hell is going on with the moon.
I don't know what the hell is going on, but I will tell you that I don't think in the 4 or 5 years that I've been on the internet, I don't think it's ever been this chaotic. And, you know, sometimes when the world is very chaotic or there's things going on like this in your life, it's probably for change. So I'm hoping that that is actually the case and we're headed towards a better future. But we don't know about that. So with that being said, I think that the biggest thing right now, it's the Kanye West controversy, right? And I'll tell you from a personal standpoint that Kanye West is my favorite artist, and I don't care what he does unless he like literally like assaults a kid or something.
Shot somebody in Times Square.
I'm not gonna stop supporting Kanye West. I haven't posted about Kanye in a very long time on my personal profile or my Wake Up with Linda profile. Because when he came out with Jesus is King about 2 or 3 years ago, conservatives and Christians heavily attacked him and anybody who was promoting him. Obviously, you had people that supported him, and then you had a whole side of conspiracy theories that were just, he's satanic, he's leading people into a dark path, he's not a real Christian, it's a cult, it's this, why is he doing that? And so after that, I'm like, you know what, I don't want my followers and people to think that because I'm a fan, I also support Kanye's political stances or what he says or doesn't say. I just want to love him like I have before I was ever on the internet, appreciate his talent and appreciate his craziness because he's a Gemini just like me and just like Trump. So I absolutely love that. Unless you've been living under a bridge, the biggest thing is that he's been canceled by Twitter, Instagram, and now Chase Bank. Why? Because he said some anti-Semitic post or things.
He didn't say anything anti-Semitic. But right. He alluded that he would be saying something not in favor of the Jewish community.
Correct.
And here's the thing. We don't really know what he was going to talk about or what the statement was, which I think is where the conversation should lead to today, which is that, you know, highly protected group that, you know, cannot stand the slightest bit of criticism. And I guess that's the conversation today.
That is going to be the conversation.
Are there the truths that need to be said? Is it easy to blanket any time that there's criticism of somebody that also happens to be Jewish into blanket calling it, you know, anti-Semitic like they do whenever we talk about George Soros? George Soros' faith has absolutely nothing to
do.
Well, he's not a practicing Jew, I think.
Well, he's,
I think
he's, well, a, he's secular, a literal Nazi, right, because he right, he worked with the Nazis to pick up Jews from their homes during the Second World War. So this is the reality. But somehow, if you have anything negative ever to say about his politics, his ideology, then somehow automatically you get labeled anti-Semitic, which is a quick way of shutting down a narrative that counters that of the mainstream media.
Well, not too long ago, I want to say it was within the last like 6 months, Fox News pushed out a cartoon of George Soros being the puppeteer of, I think, like different, you know, social justice groups like BLM and whatnot. And they automatically had to delete the post. This is Fox News, right? No mention of Jewish people or Judaism or anything was in the cartoon, but it received so much backlash that Fox News had to take it down, right? Even the mention of globalism is associated with Jewish people. I never knew that until very recently when I started seeing media talking about how, you know, the conspiracy of conservatives and the alt-right and the far-right of globalists taking over is actually an anti-Semitic trope. And I'm like, what are these people talking about? I mean, when I look at Bill Gates and I say he's a globalist, like, I don't think of Jewish people, but somehow, some way, this has been a problem. And you know why it's a problem? And I've talked about this before. Because if you silence people and they go into the dark, that's where extremism is actually born, right? Think about extremist groups, whether it's the Taliban or any other extremist groups in the world, nothing to do with Jewish people. Think about those people that, you know, Taliban, they were hiding in mountains and caves for 20 years just waiting to take back their country, right? And so this, I think it's a scary place. And it's not just for this topic. I mean, when we talk about any conservative that has been deplatformed, I just, my fear is that not being able to talk about this subject like any other things that we talk about is actually far more dangerous in the future, I think, than just letting people say what they want and then educating them if there is something that they said that is hateful or not true or a conspiracy. But the biggest thing happened, I think, on Saturday night when Kanye went on Twitter and he said something like, I'm a little bit sleepy right now, but tomorrow I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews. And he actually misspelled DEFCON. Supposed to be DEFCON and not DEFCON. And DEFCON is actually...
Did he, though? Because the conversation's going to lead there. Was he alluding to Def Jam when he said that?
No, it's actually a... from my understanding, DEFCON, what it means is like... It's like a military term for like...
Yes, DEFCON is. But my question is, was he doing a play on words when he used DEAF? Mm-hmm. Because, again, members of Def Jam have been accused of the usual anti-Semitism, again, throughout the years, like many rap artists have, when they speak out against, like Kanye said, bad business decisions, right?
So... This is actually not the first time that Kanye has been in trouble with the Jewish community and they've tried to cancel him. In 2013, he said something like Jewish people have more connections than black people. And so the ADL came out and did a whole article on why that is an old anti-Semitic narrative and it's dangerous. And how could he say that? This is literally back in 2013. And let's pause for a second, right? Hold on. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, this is the problem of being live.
This is the problem of being live. But, okay, yes. Stereotypes, good and bad, exist for a reason, for anybody, okay? There's obviously stuff that you don't want to say out loud about Latinos or the black race or Jewish people or Christians or whatever it is. I briefly worked for some Jewish people back in 2018, right? I think I've told you this story before. The owners of Haha or Jaja Tequila. One of the owners is actually Fuck Jerry, the account Fuck Jerry on Instagram. His wife is Beanie Cardigan or something like that. Massive meme accounts. And him and his brothers are Jewish. They decided to start a tequila company. And when I briefly worked with them, this is actually positive, by the way, for anybody that's going to say anything. When I worked with them, I spent some time, I think it was during Passover, where I met them and the family. We're talking about business and how we can expand this brand in Miami and whatnot. And so I remember talking to the owners and them saying, you know, I said, you know, who's part of the company? How did you guys get this into a distributor and whatnot? And they told me themselves that a lot of it had to do with their Jewish connections because of their community and how they help each other out. And this is coming from a Jewish family themselves telling me like, yeah, well, you know, this is one of our investors and he's part of our community. And then they're like, well, we decided with Breakthrough Beverage, the distributor, because the president or the owner, whatever, is actually a Jewish person that we know as well, right? When they talked about putting it in different clubs in Miami, Dave Grubman, a Jewish man himself, extremely successful, king of Miami, they said, you know, this is what we're doing. And so I never thought to myself, this is bad, or
much less that acknowledging it would be considered anti-Semitism. Correct. When, if correct. Anything, it's to be celebrated. Like, right. Wow, that a community could stick together when it comes to lifting one another up, mm-hmm. right? But again, to the point,
so
that
my
you're
point
getting to,
is that, you know, is it bad to say that certain communities, and it's not just the Jewish community, I think the Indian community as well, help each other out? Is that a bad thing to say? And that's why they tried to cancel Kanye back in 2013, and they had to make a whole statement from the ADL saying that he was spewing anti-Semitic rants and, you know, it was extremely dangerous to their community. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we're so afraid to talk about this and even joke about it because they want to cancel you and ruin your life. And it's not just like a small cancellation. Like, look at what happened with the bank.
No, it will ruin your life.
It will ruin your life.
It will ruin your life. And they'll use,
it's so
and
scary.
The thing is that it's almost like the left is aware that this is an accusation that could ruin your life. So, for example, I've never even hinted to anything even slightly anti-Semitic in my page. Mm. My husband's family has, there's Jewish family members within our family. I made one post calling out the Rothschild family and how they're behind a lot of these bankers' wars. I'm calling out bankers, but Antifa took that right. and said, you know,
they ran
red
with it.
Red Pill Babe is anti-Semitic and makes anti-Semitic statements because I criticized the Rothschild family and not even criticized, reposted a tweet calling them that they were a powerful family in banking that can be traced back to a lot of the wars. And it goes against to the cancellation of being able to talk about anything. Like, no one's being anti-Semitic no by one. Just calling out a family that also, a very powerful family that looks out for their mm-hmm. best interests and that also just so happens to be Jewish.
It happened to me a few months ago as well. I liked a post. This was during the Roe v. Wade fiasco when they had overturned it. And so there was different religious groups that said that they were going to sue over religious rights, and that included I think a few rabbis or a Jewish synagogue or something like that. And so The Economist, or one of these like mainstream media newspaper, I'm pretty sure it was The Economist, they ran a story saying that I think it was like 80% of Jewish people agree with abortion. And I liked the story. That's all. I didn't comment. I didn't say anything bad. I liked the story. And a Jewish follower saw it. And she literally started going in on me and saying that I was a neo-Nazi.
Right. It goes from zero to neo-Nazi.
Zero to 100. And she's right. like accusing me of being a neo-Nazi, saying that she's going to call the brands that I've worked with if she's seen me post and tell them that I'm a neo-Nazi, saying that she's going to make sure that the Jewish community and everybody that I follow knows that I'm a neo-Nazi. And I'm like, over a like in a post run by a mainstream media that is taking into consideration polling from Jewish people in America. These are the situations where you get a negative taste of certain people or communities and you're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, why do you guys do things like this? And it's not just, we're not talking about just Jewish people, but in general, racism. Candace Owens said it this week. You can't criticize black people without being called a racist.
Right.
I was just called, I mean, we're called racist all the time.
And you know what the bigger situation for me is, isn't so much that you can criticize people without X happening, is that it is selective. As Christians, we have to deal with all sorts of BS being slung our way, whether it's being called
a Christo-fascist,
a Nazi, intolerant, whatever they want to call you if you practice your faith. And they can quite literally blanket statement every Christian everywhere with these really disgusting names that if they had it for the people that do have effect, I don't need to worry about that. But there are people that do need to worry about that. They do need to go into corporate America day in and day out. And simply because of their faith, they will be called a Nazi or all these other names. And it makes you wonder, where's the fairness in that, right? I know we're gonna touch on it, but there are laws on a federal and a state level that protect only one group of people. It's not even blacks, it's not Latinos, it's not Asians, it's not Christians, it's not Muslims. The only laws that exist to protect a religious group exist to protect the Jewish community. And I'm not against it. I just would want to see that expanded because I see the mistreatment that Christians are receiving day in and day out, and that it's progressively getting worse, and that all of these lawmakers that claim to identify with their Christian values when they're getting ready to run for their positions do nothing as they're watching conservative Christians be pushed aside and shunned from society.
We've talked about it before, and it's actually a situation that we have here with Billy Corbin, who's a Jewish American filmmaker behind Cocaine Cowboys and a few other documentaries. Billy Corbin loves to use the anti-Semitic narrative to silence his opposition. It's so bad that when he's gone to commission meetings and Joe Carollo, who's a City of Miami commissioner, calls him by his real name, which is William Cohen, he goes into a meltdown about how that's actually anti-Semitic. And he doesn't stop there.
No.
He gets his connections in the media, right? The Forward specifically, which is a Jewish newspaper, and makes him write a whole article talking about how just being called by his real name is anti-Semitic. Meanwhile, he attacks Christians every single day. He's attacked us. He attacks Cubans. He attacks anyone who is a Christian. So much so that about, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
He was attacking a private Catholic school again. Again. Why? Because a private Catholic school is anti-abortion, as they should be. And part of a assignment or an extracurricular activity or something was that they had to watch an abortion tape or something. And so he's like, breaking news. I'm exposing this private Catholic school for being anti-abortion. It's like, what are you doing? Like, why? And this is the second Catholic school that he attacks. Last year, he attacked another Catholic school because he found a letter of 100 and something parents that signed it and said that they didn't want the diversity and equity and BS taught at the school. Yeah. And one of those parents that signed the letter happened to be a man that was running for City of Coral Gables mayor. And so he literally photoshopped the guy in front of an actual anti-Semitic graffiti that popped up in Coral Gables. So when when they use things like this,
when
a certain group of people, whether it be blacks or it be Jewish or Latinos, uses that and weaponizes it against conservatives, against people to silence the opposition. I feel like it just drives more hate.
Well, because what's happening now is that the more it's like anything else, right? From the moment that you're a child, the more you tell people not to touch the button, the more they're going to go out there and touch. So now it's like people want to know why Kanye's being canceled and why he's okay. So he was saying who's behind cancel culture. And then 2 minutes later, he gets taken off the internet. I'm not justifying his comments in any way. I just, you know, it bothers me when speech that's supposed to be free isn't, right? I had the same level of concerns like I did back in, I want to say 2014, when Amazon first made the decision that they were no longer going to sell any books that talked about the shots and being anti-shot and the dangers of shots for parents. Way before COVID, guys, way before anybody knew anything about canceling on the internet, before stuff got as bad as it is right now, at the people that were anti-shot actually got canceled from these major platforms where you couldn't even sell books written by actual doctors and actual scholars. They wanted to completely silence the conversation. And this actually backfired on them because the only thing it does is that it piques the interest of people to then start, looking into things, which then you never know what rabbit hole somebody's going to fall under.
What's happening right now, if you go to the urban pages, like, what is it, Ballerler and whatever, you guys know the urban pages, and you go to the comments, most of those people are usually pretty anti-Kanye because of his political stance and comments. But a lot of them are now questioning why it is that people get canceled when you criticize a certain group and not when Kanye said slavery is a choice and many other things that he said in the past, which they consider to be inflammatory. I also want to point out that Kanye had filmed a episode with LeBron's The Shop. I guess LeBron has like a show on HBO and they're like at a barbershop and they just like talk shit and whatnot with the boys. And LeBron canceled him. He said that Kanye's episode was no longer going to be released. Well, it wasn't actually LeBron, but it was the producer of the show. He said it was not longer going to be released because he went on the show to continue his hate speech. What he said, we don't know because they actually didn't even say exactly what it was. But this is how bad it's gotten. And then the next day, Chase Bank cancels Kanye, tells him he needs to find another banking institution. They also don't state why. So here we are. Imagine if this happens to Kanye West, who's a billionaire and has actually, I mean, if he gets canceled, he says, I'm retired and I no longer want to be part of anything. He'll be fine for the rest of his life. But if this happens to the average person, you can't find a job, you have no money in the bank. What do these people do? Do they kill themselves? Do they just move to another country? Do they change their names? Like, what happens to people whose lives get ruined over comments that may be seemed racist or xenophobic or in this case anti-Semitic? I think that that's a conversation that people need to have. Let me see what else. Oh, so yesterday, Candace Owens released the Black Lives Matter scam documentary where she's exposing the funnel, like where they funnel all the money. And apparently it goes to a bunch of like LGBT shell corporations and they're trying to call these companies and like nobody picks up. So like nobody really knows where this money went, right? I have not watched the documentary yet. I do have friends that went. They said it was amazing. It's like worth watching. But we saw that Kanye and Ray J were actually at the premiere. Kid Rock as well, and a few other people. And at the end, paparazzi found out where the event was, and they were waiting for Kanye to come outside to ask him further questions about his comments. And they asked them, you know, do you regret the comments that you said? Do you wish any harm on Jewish people? He says, no, that's not what it is about. What it is actually about is a long history of bad partnerships between Hollywood and Black entertainers. And when you call out these bad business, you end up being labeled as anti-Semitic.
Correct.
Right? So he says he's happy that this conversation actually started, but we know that this is not the first Black entertainment who has called out Hollywood or the music industry or the entertainment industry.
I mean, realistically speaking, because this is the correlation that nobody wants to talk about, which is that they're referring to the producers and these record label executives that, you know, I would imagine to some degree all hold the same faith, which is where the generalized comment comes from, which again, any generalized comment can then lead to this kind of conversation that creates a problem. But nonetheless, there is an overwhelming number of executive producers that are of Jewish faith. So when a Black rapper comes out and says, you know, this Jewish executive made a bad business deal with me, or I made a bad business deal with this person, and it seems like I was getting taken advantage of, or it seems like I was being played to, push my music in a certain direction or whatever it may be, it's automatically called anti-Semitism. And a lot of it, again, taking away the generalization of it, a lot of it is just frustration with, again, like Kanye expressed, a bad business deal. Right. Because if you're getting brought up from a ghetto where you're just hoping all of your dreams that somehow you can make it in the rap game and that you can be a rapper, and then here comes this big high-level executive that clearly knows a lot more because they've been around a lot longer, they're around powerful people, they're around money, and they make you sign a 10-year contract, which basically says you're going to be, you know, performing for peanuts, there is, I would imagine, a certain level of resentment that comes in years later when now you're in this shit deal that should have been a lot better and you feel like you were taken advantage of.
Immediately after the Candace Owens premiere, TMZ ran a story saying that family and friends of Kanye are saying that she has been the one influencing him, advising him. And so basically they're trying to say that after the whole White Lives Matter charade in Paris Fashion Week, that this is all Candace Owens' influence on Kanye, which, if you've been following Kanye since the beginning, like some of us have, Kanye has been consistently the same since like 2004, since he came out.
Imagine thinking that anybody on this God's green earth has any kind of influence over a Gemini.
Right.
I remember somebody accused me. They're like, oh, because I don't even remember who. It was one of these hater crazy people. Yeah. I think it's the one that calls you on a regular basis at like 3 o'clock in the morning, like if it's a Chinese restaurant. And it's something like, oh, you know, because so-and-so told Linda, and that's like, bro, you really think that Linda's gonna be influenced by anybody in this world? Same thing goes for Trump. Same thing goes for Kanye. Right. There's nobody. Kanye is an innovator. Kanye is known for being the thought leader. He's not gonna be out here. Besides, if anything, he's leading the conversation because it's not Candace. No. Candace is now touching on a topic that she's never touched before.
Candace
because
has cowered.
Kanye brought it up.
Candace has actually cowered to this topic before. There is deleted tweets from Candace Owens where she called out George Soros, and I guess she got backlash and she deleted them. And that was pretty, you know, pretty unlike Candace to do, because she's usually pretty fierce and stands by what she says. But I mean, conservatives won't touch this topic. In fact, it's so strange because conservatives are asking people to cancel PayPal, cancel this, cancel everything, right? And what they haven't talked about is that about 2 months ago, PayPal announced a partnership with the ADL. Nobody wants to talk about the ADL. Nobody wants to talk about how the ADL is actually one of the most powerful non-governmental organizations in the United States.
They're the free speech Gestapo.
They're literally the free speech Gestapo. Mm-hmm. Why don't they want to talk about the ADL? Do you want me to tell you why they don't want to talk about the ADL? Because it is a Jewish organization. And even pointing that out, Anomaly, if you guys follow Anomaly on Twitter, he just posted about this yesterday and people were trying to cancel him about it. And he's like, I'm like, it's on their website. Mm-hmm. Like, it's on Wikipedia. It's everywhere. And if you read the statement of ADL and PayPal, you're going to see that they are trying to just target anybody who spreads misinformation. They're saying that they want to know if there's any domestic terrorists using PayPal to, you know, finesse transactions and how their organization works, hate speech, medical misinformation. So it's like you have a non-government organization partnering up with this payment processing to literally kill anybody who's in the online digital economy over hate speech. And it is an unchecked power. And unfortunately, because of the situation where we can't talk or have any criticism of a certain group, no, there's not a single conservative that has talked about it. You see Charlie Kirk talking about cancel PayPal. Well, when did PayPal start? When this whole thing of the $2,500, which they took back, I think it was a test, right? I think that they were testing the waters to see what if people would react. But why did PayPal do this? Is it possible that PayPal started doing this because they paired up with the ADL? Because that just happened 2 months ago. So I wouldn't doubt if that was a ADL suggestion to PayPal. Correct. And they kind of like put it out there, and maybe it did leak
or maybe
before.
It leaked prior to it.
Or there's an employee inside that said, you know what, I'm gonna have to release this and make sure that it gets to people. And then they took it back because they saw the cancellation was happening like massive. It was like a big deal. Like now they're offering people like $15 or $20 to get back on the app. But I just think that the ADL, actually, there's been one conservative influencer, Ali Beth Sucky. A few months ago, she was calling out the ADL. Again, nothing to do with them being a Jewish organization, but she was just pointing out how at first the ADL had like a good, you know, reputation. And through the years, they just became the free speech Gestapo.
Yeah.
And they're trying to cancel anybody. And it's not just... It's if you criticize trans individuals,
again, if you say LGBT, George Soros, the trans, anything about abortion,
if you criticize illegal immigrants, they come after you. It's like anything that you think you can criticize, you can't. And if you go a little bit too hard, they're going to come after you. In fact, the White Lives Matter, just as the before the shirt, the t-shirt fiasco, White Lives Matter is considered a hate speech. Whatever by the ADL, it's on their website. You can check it out right now.
Well, the ADL,
they said that it's a white supremacy like narrative.
Didn't the ADL also say that the Constitution had a racist underlines to it? I think they got the Betsy Ross flag, and they said that that was anti-Semitic. There's just been like a series. I mean, the Constitution. They're saying that the Constitution has, I guess, remnants of some form of anti-Semitism. And, you know, to go back into the music industry, I was talking to you earlier about this guy, Lior Cohen, who's known. He's like known as the tall Israeli in hip hop music. And he's behind some of the biggest names in hip hop since its inception. Mm-hmm. And there has been a lot of rappers that throughout the last couple of decades, three, four decades, have publicly come out and discussed how they have felt like this individual has taken advantage of them, how they feel like this individual has led their hip hop into a dark place of glorifying violence and drug use and all these other things that create a negative connotation to Black culture. And there's been a lot of rappers that have come out, some really big names that have come out and spoken against Lior Cohen and his business practices and have been immediately canceled and have not had, you know, the platinum label records that they deserve or the media attention that they deserve because they've dared to speak out about this one character, Lior Cohen, which automatically then the media gets and calls them anti-Semitic. Why? Because Lior is Jewish. Right. And this is a conversation that, you know, I would imagine that Kanye is trying to have, which is that there is a group that gatekeep the hip hop music industry. And it so happens to be that the people at the top all share the same faith.
Right. Well, to be fair, I don't think that it's more of like a culture or ethnicity, because a lot of them are like secular. They right. don't actually practice. You know, it's like Mark Zuckerberg and Shia LaBeouf, who's now a Catholic. Shia LaBeouf just came out he converted to Catholicism when he started the movie, he started playing Padre Pio. And I heard his whole like an hour and a half interview. It was actually really good. And he talks about how, you know, he grew up in like a hippie Jewish family, but they were non-practicing. So he didn't really like follow any faith. And now he's converted to Catholicism. But we've seen this before with Nick Cannon. He said some inflammatory things on his podcast and he got canceled. And then he had a rabbi come on his show on his podcast to educate him on, you know, the Holocaust and Jewish people and why what he said. Right. He had to bend the knee.
There's so many.
I mean, you know, we saw it with Whoopi Goldberg. We saw it actually with LeBron James as well. LeBron James posted lyrics of 21 Savage song. And I forgot exactly what the lyrics said. I don't think it was anything too crazy. And I'm no LeBron James fan whatsoever. But LeBron James also had to apologize, delete the whole thing. I think he said something like, I'm getting this Jewish money. It's part of the lyric.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember when we were younger, there was a song that was like, we're getting Arab money. Yeah. We're getting Arab money. And like, nobody ever got canceled for that.
That's what I think about every time you send me the Habibi TikToks.
Like, I don't know why LeBron had to apologize for that. If you're just literally quoting a song and there's songs like that, like, I don't think a single Muslim said, you need to apologize for those lyrics. But going back to the Candace Owens situation.
Mos Def had the similar situation when he comes out with the song. And all he says in his is a tall Israeli running this rap shit. And they also canceled him for that, for mentioning that he was an Israeli.
Yeah. Well, you know, very, very, very strange times, right? Going back to the Candace Owens situation, I like Candace Owens. I'm not a fan of Candace Owens, right? It's like, I appreciate Lady Gaga. I think Lady Gaga is a extremely talented individual. And
she's a performer.
But she's a performer, but her voice is great too.
Yeah, she's got a great
voice. I'm just not a fan. So not being a fan doesn't mean that you hate them, right? Just want to verify that. And there's a story, the story that I was talking about earlier, where TMZ is saying that Candace Owens is influencing Kanye West. And so Candace Owens goes on this whole rant on her story, low-key threatening Kim Kardashian and the Kardashians to further expose them for I don't know what, right? About 3 days ago or 4 days ago, Candace also leaked. We obviously know this comes from Ray J. Like, it couldn't be any more obvious that Ray J is leaking, like, 10-year-old voicemails from Kim Kardashian. Like, Ray J is still so mad about it. It's like, okay, dude, like, you didn't make it. It is what it is. But anyways, she leaked a pretty iconic voicemail from Kim going crazy, like a regular girlfriend would on Ray J 10 years ago. And she's like, oh, Ray J, like, go fucking hang out with that old hag, Whitney Houston. And I didn't even know. I had no idea that apparently Ray J had cheated on.
Well, there's like that whole conspiracy that Ray J was one of the last people to see Whitney alive.
Uh-huh.
He was in the hotel room before she passed away.
I had no idea. I literally just learned this 4 years ago, four days ago. I had no idea.
Had an affair for
I had to go on Twitter because I'm like, why is she talking about Whitney Houston? And I obviously had to go through like the whole conspiracy theory and find out that Ray J was cheating on Kim with Whitney Houston. He called her a crackhead. And so,
oh my gosh, she called Whitney Houston a crackhead. Yes, I was just reading the comments.
It was a pretty, it was hilarious. It was just like a regular girlfriend. Like, I'm looking at it on TikTok and all the girls in the comments are like, I've said far worse. Like, I've said far worse. And I thought it was pretty dumb of like, I guess it's for sensationalism too. I mean, Candace is also an entertainer. But now she's going on this whole rant on her story, threatening Kim Kardashian, saying that she's going to expose the Kardashian clan or their Kardashian mafia. It's like, dude, like, you're big, but you're not Kardashian level big. Calm down, bro. Like, you're big, but you're not that big. You know what I mean? And to me, it's just like, I've said it before. It's not that we're Kardashian fans, but I think that it's an unnecessary hate.
Well, because you know what? Dude. Don't you feel like sometimes you get the same hate for
no reason, for existing.
Pretty girl privilege. Yeah. So Linda talks often about this thing, this real thing that exists, which is pretty girl privilege, which is not talked about because people don't want to face reality. Mm-hmm. But in life tends to be a lot easier for good looking people than the people that are not. However, what nobody talks about is pretty girl hate, which you look a certain way. You don't even have, like, you just got to be slightly above average.
Right.
And automatically the hate that you'll get from people that don't know you just comes rolling in. Right. I know you've seen it. We've seen the comments where people for absolutely no reason don't know me. And they're like, your eyes are too far apart. Okay,
Ice Age, dude. That's my favorite, though.
The thing
that's
is, my favorite.
You know what? That's my favorite.
They're wrong.
What's the name?
So my eyes are a little far apart. I'll give it to you.
It's what is true. The name? What is the name of the dude? The character?
Sid from Ice Age. Zoom in. Is it true? The haters say I look like Sid from Ice Age because my eyes are too fall apart and whatever. They ain't completely wrong. But sometimes it's like random, like, oh, I never liked the way she laughed or I never liked. And it's like, bro, y'all are just haters. So I think that from that perspective, when I'm scrolling through a comments under a post of Kim Kardashian, like I can normally tell apart like who genuinely doesn't like this woman because they feel like they have a legitimate reason for something that she did and who doesn't like her just because she exists.
Bro, they're
and
still
she looks
talking
the
about the sex
does.
Tape. Like, get over it. That's it. That was like 12 years ago.
The sex tape should have... here's what I don't... The argument behind the sex tape. Sex tapes ruin careers. Careers are not built on sex tapes, much less careers as successful business people. She's not a porn star.
Right.
She's a business person. And not just for herself. She's created a brand for herself.
For her family.
And for her entire family. So until what point do we keep on holding on to the sex tape thing? Like it's the thing that made her go famous when it truly isn't. And it's such a hater thing to say. Because it's like that really should have ruined anybody's career, much less a random nobody that nobody knew.
Right.
It's like they create a brand out of something else. But I just,
Can I say something? Because I see Ali Rio Femme Sapien on in the comments, and earlier I heard her. It's like a 30-minute live on what is it? Men Hit the Wall, right? So there's this whole thing in the manosphere about women, and they hit on women pretty hard, which is why I don't go hard on the manosphere. They talk about women hitting the wall, and they're only viable, and the women are only good for like 8 years, from like 18 to like 26, and then after that, they just, you know, your eggs die, your life is over, you're old,
you're done, you're done.
Yeah, you're a waste. But anyways, so Ali does this video, and she starts talking about men also hit the wall, and then she's going into like, well, they age, and this happens, and sometimes you have, you know, you don't know good, and you get fat, and blah, 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 and all these things, and like the men in the comments are so trash. Like, they're so trash and terrible because she is being real. She's not just gonna hate on women every single day. Not that she's a hater, but I'm saying she's not gonna criticize the modern day women every single day. Now she's saying, hey, there's also a wall for men, right? And there's also a problem for men. And the men are like, oh, you're just average. You look like a boy with makeup. You look like this. You look like that. And I'm like, this is like the typical online men behavior, which we get so often.
We get all the time because I 10 times more hate from men than we do from women. And in fact, the people who call me Sid are usually 9 times out of 10 men. And it must be real, guys, because a lot of people say it that don't know each other. So there must be some correlation. But it usually comes from men. And this, to some degree, you know, is the Andrew, where I talk about this ambiguous line that exists with the Andrew Tate culture, where, yes, there's a lot of things that Andrew Tate speaks on how women carry themselves that I tend to agree with. I believe that the modern woman tends to shy away from her femininity by trying to act more like a man, which then creates a power struggle. Yes, I agree with him on that. But he also talks down to women, and he'll make comments about, you know, women that are over the age of 24 are no longer viable.
Dude, it's not even that. It's like he's telling all these women, like, you're not viable after a certain point. And truth be said is that men can have, you know, can get a girl pregnant until like very late in their years for a fact. In fact, my uncle is 70 years old and he just had a baby like a year ago. With his young ass girlfriend. No, I swear he has 2 now. It's crazy. So it's pretty intense. But he's also hanging around with a bunch of whores. Like, he was just in Croatia and he filled up his yacht with whores. And it's like,
right. So it's like, are you for women that respect themselves, or are you for 20-year-old hoes that want to hang out with you?
And I like a lot of the things that he said. It's a
walking contradiction. Right. And that's the problem with Tate, is that he contradicts himself a lot. And how old is he? I feel like he's like, very young.
No, he's not.
He's not.
He's like 37. How old is Tate, guys? In the comments, 37.
Let's actually take the opportunity while we ask you guys how old Tate is.
I think it's 37.
2 contributions. I don't think I could scroll up that far, but I know that one came from Shuda 305, and he said that it was for pastelitos and empanadas.
Thank you so much, guys. If you want to contribute to us, you can always give us a super chat. Is that what it's called, or whatever it is?
Yeah, you can click on the super chat or something or another, which helps fund us. Because remember, no lizard people, no Illuminati. Wait, it's just us, bro.
So I have what?
Robert Lee. Oh, thank you. And Robert Lee, thank you for your contribution. We really appreciate it. You understand the struggle, and we appreciate you for it.
I think that the manosphere, a lot of them, because I met them online, and I don't talk about this on any of my channels because I don't want to sound like a hater. A lot of them are incels that got a nice body and an online personality. And so they think that they can just shit on women all day. I met these men in real life. Okay. And I can tell you that they hang out in packs of men to the point where I thought they were all homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they can't even actually talk to girls in like face to face.
In real life.
Right? In real life. Right. So you can sit here in the screen and shit on women all day and talk about how base you are and talk about how you bang bitches all the time. But when you can't even get in front of women and hold a normal conversation and have confidence, and that I think I'm like, is this guy a homosexual? Because he's just like with a pack of men, there's like 10 of them hanging around the beach, walking around barefoot, like fucking losers.
Why do dudes do that, by the way?
I have no idea.
Like, I feel like, why do the dudes always do like, oh, let's take like this guy picture? And then it's like all the dudes and they're all like, me and my bro, it's a little it's a little gay, but I guess that's a conversation for another about masculinity and where
here's the thing that I saw somebody in the comment, I think it was Mo Low, obviously no disrespect, thank you for your comment. It says, those Hollywood ties run deep, sex tape created exposure for the show, all coordinated and calculated. Okay, but how many people have had reality TVs and don't reach the level of the Kardashians? We're talking about Kim is a billionaire now, right? Is she a billionaire?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I think that Kylie's the only one that's a billionaire.
Okay. We're talking about
A multi-millionaire.
I think both Kylie and Kim just purchased private jets at $150 million or something. Kylie Air, Kim Air. Not a lot of people accomplish what they have accomplished. Right. So just simply saying they're witches, it's the sex tape. It's this. It's not to be a fan. Like, I don't own Skims. I don't watch the Kardashians. I don't have Kylie's makeup. I think I bought it like 5 years ago or something like that, like a lipstick. I didn't like it. I don't even know what the hell they're up to nowadays, like, because I don't watch the fucking show. But to me, it's like that. It's a hater mentality, because you cannot take away the fact that they built a brand and they built multiple businesses. And now Skims is like a multi-billion-dollar brand. We're talking about underwear and undergarments and whatnot. Like,
oh my God, they've had makeup brands, they have hair products.
These are things you can't take away from people. And it's not because you're a follower or a fan or whatever, but just simply saying, oh, it's because you're witches. Bro, and they do witchcraft. Bro, there's fucking witches in Miami all over the place. This whole entire city is full with santeros. Do you see them buying $150 million planes? Yeah. No. You can't just sit here and say and just blame everything on all this. I love you. This is funny.
Yeah, there's two of them. Let's give a shout out to Julian Lopez. It says, I love you, Linda. Keep speaking the truth, whether both sides like it or not. And they don't. Neither side likes it. And Simply Bela, I love you both so much. I sent you the pic of my kid in the G Santa shirt at the Disney store.
Oh, I saw that. That was so cute.
That was gold. That was gold shit. That was awesome.
But I don't get the unnecessary hate for the Kardashians from the conservative side.
To me, it's just reflective of how women in general are treated on the internet. I think that most women have experienced it to some degree or another. When you get a little bit of attention on the internet, it doesn't matter what it is. There's always somebody who feels like they have an opinion on you based off what you're wearing, how your makeup is done, how your hair looks like, where you're posting pictures at. And it's extremely infuriating that more often than not, it comes from men.
What does
it say about men in our society where they feel empowered by going on the internet and attacking random women for their lifestyle? Meanwhile, majority of the time, they're either unhappily married or single with nobody by their side.
Right. Yeah. Tay has no kids. And he loves to tell women that they're going extinct. You're not going to have kids. You're going to end up like, bro, you don't even have a kid. You're not even near a kid. But listen, I'm not a Tay hater. I just listened to an hour yesterday when I was working about his take on Islam. Because, you know, people were asking me about it and I heard it. So I don't dislike the guy. Right. But everybody is, it's fair to criticize everyone. What was the thing that there was something? Oh, okay. I posed a question to a conservative Kardashian hater this week, and she literally blew the fuck up on me. She said, Kim Kardashian is a paid prostitute. And I said, how is she a paid prostitute? A lot of times I want to engage because I want to know, like, psychologically how it is that you think something is right because it's on your side. But if it's on the other side or somebody you hate, it's wrong.
Right.
So I pose the question. I say, well, whatever. She had a sex tape. I guess let's play devil's advocate and say that her mother did leak this on purpose to become famous, even though doing it doesn't guarantee it. But let's say that she did, and it was pretty trashy to do that. Doesn't guarantee success, right? She did it with her boyfriend, which plenty of people do sex tapes with their husbands and boyfriends. That doesn't mean that you're a paid prostitute. But if you're talking about, doing Playboy and you consider that prostitution and whatnot, I said to her, well, what do you have to say about First Lady Melania's old nude pictures?
Right.
She did. Is she a paid prostitute? Because that's actually what the left says.
Right.
The left says that Melania is a million bride and she's a prostitute and she's a whore. They say the most disgusting things about Melania Trump. And I just simply don't agree with them, because we know that a lot of models, look at Candice Swanepoel, look at Bella Hadid, they do nudes all the time.
Right.
I don't do them because I'm not a model. But I just don't see how you can, and then she couldn't answer.
Well, it's just not a justifiable she couldn't answer.
And she's
someone.
Like, well, why are you bringing up Melania Trump? Because I want to know if you also think that she's a paid prostitute. Obviously, she got super mad. She blew up and she's like, no, that's not, why would you bring her up? And I'm like, I don't know. I just think that it's pretty hypocritical of you to think that some women can do it. And then our first lady has pretty badass pictures out there, guys. Like, in Trump's plane.
Yeah,
there's a lot of questionable pictures out there.
Well, I mean, and how many people don't, like, I mean, if this is what we're calling prostitutes now, look, we had a comment on one of our old videos over the last week or so, and right. She was like, Kim Kardashian is a horrible mother and those kids need to be taken away from her. It's like,
what?
Hold up a second.
What?
Are we watching the same Kardashian family? Because those kids look exceptionally well taken
right.
care of.
Right.
They're always together. They're always with their family. They're always dressed to the nines. I mean, you see them with their kids. You don't see nannies. We know that Kim does her ride along every morning. She right. does her carpool. So for somebody to be like, oh, well, she's a bad mom. So what makes her a bad mom? I'm still waiting for them to reply, but I can imagine what the right. answer is going to be. Oh, she's always half naked on the internet. Okay, well, so are a lot of people on the internet.
Well, I posed the question as well to that conservative who said that they should remove children from her. And I said, well, what about gay conservatives who adopt? Like, I mean, look, I have a lot of controversial opinions on adoption, period, and surrogates. Do you care? Like, if you care about children so much, you care that there's some children that are going to be literally raised with no mom, that they're going to be raised with two dads, and they're never going to feel what it's like to have a mother? Obviously, this person can't answer that question because it automatically makes them think further than they had when they wrote that hateful comment. But we don't want to make this about, and we only have a few minutes left, but we don't want to make this completely about the Kardashians. Let's talk about Alex Jones.
Oh, let's talk about Alex Jones. So Alex Jones has just been, the courts just demanded him pay, how much is it?
$1 billion.
Bah,
yeah.
To the survivors of Sandy Hook. What is it that it actually, so he claims that he had claimed in his podcast that Sandy Hook was a hoax and that it had yeah. never happened.
That the bodies of the kids weren't real. And
right.
Like, a lot of normal
conspirational things that end up going around. But I mean, he's still being attacked for free speech because if all he's talking about is theories and theoretically, like, you should be allowed to discuss theories without having to worry that you're going to get slapped with a $1 billion lawsuit.
I just think it's funny, I'm sorry to interrupt you, that today there's a bunch of people pissed off about the Parkland shooter's verdict because a lot of people wanted him to have the death penalty and they didn't. I think he's just going to serve life in prison. And you have a lot of people, even Governor DeSantis came out with a statement saying, like, you know, this is like not a fair like verdict or whatever, or sentencing, not verdict. And at the same time, you have people cheering on the Alex Jones almost billion dollar defamation lawsuit. And it's like, it's the same corrupt justice system, guys. Just because you agree with one thing and not the other does not make it okay. This is what we're trying to tell you. And I thought about this today while I was doing my makeup. Whenever conservatives or whenever the West, I don't want to say conservatives, I'm so sorry. I want to say the West. Whenever the West accuses China, Russia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and every single country with human rights violations because they do this, because they do that, a lot of the times these countries have swift and very severe punishment against human traffickers, drug traffickers, pedophiles, and whatnot. What happens in Afghanistan now under Taliban ruling, whenever they catch a pedophile, they hang him in front of everybody to watch. You don't go through trial. You don't go through an extensive trial and waiting jail and a jury and whatnot. It's like, you got caught fucking a kid, you're going to hang immediately. Right. What did President Z tell Trump? That they have a very speedy trial and that drug dealers have the death sentence. Not saying that that's the way we have to do things, right? I'm not saying like we should be like China or Afghanistan. I'm just telling you that this is why
some might argue.
Some may argue
that our justice system is not the best justice set up when, you know, pedophiles usually get a few years and then they're released from prison and they're free to go out there and attack other victims.
Whether Alex Jones is guilty or not of defamation, right? It's not, it's, if you're cheering on this president.
Yeah, that's the thing. Should have just said guilty of what? Talking? What the fuck? Like, yeah, it's true.
Guilty of what?
Guilty of what? Like, you can't, like, what about people that believe in, like, aliens or, like, ghosts or whatever? Like, we're not allowed to talk theories anymore?
What about the Pfizer people that lied about the you-know-what that we can't say on this channel? What about, I mean, there's, what about the Russian collusion hoax? What about all the lies that the mainstream media has perpetrated? What about the Kyle Rittenhouse
case? What about the fake whistleblower that claims that Donald Trump took the steering wheel of the limo on the way to January 6th and yanked it from the guy and led him to the Capitol? And then he threw his burger and fries at the wall.
We literally live in a country, and the entire West, it's not just the United States, where the media is a terrorist organization who does work for the bad people, just like they're doing to the president of El Salvador, where they're saying that he's committing human rights violations against gang members that have raped, killed, and extorted poor people of El Salvador. Now he's the enemy. The media is actually siding with MS-13 gangs. So, I mean, they've done far worse than what Alex Jones has done. But here's the thing that people don't understand. This sets such a bad precedent for everybody. The president here is what matters for future cases, which could be you, could be an organization. So it's not so much like, I hate Alex Jones. I'm glad he has to do that. And by the way, he responded today saying that I don't have close to $1 billion. Right. So he went into how it is that he is going to, I guess, settle with the government and go into bankruptcy and then keep the company going and then just pay them up a little bit and maybe do a counter lawsuit. So we're going to see exactly what happens with that situation. And they also subpoenaed Trump today for the January 6th, which is the January 6th committee is an unelected body of what law? I don't even know what the January 6th committee is.
Who knows what the hell they are? I know that they moved the date of the findings until mid-November, of course, after the elections, because it's going to be a big nothing burger. I know that Roger Stone had to go into court today and give his testimony over what happened in January 6th. And, you know, he's been talking, he's been posting nonstop his videos where, you know, he was calling for peaceful protest. And then here, you know, in the committee, they chop up videos and they make it sound like if he was out there instigating violence, but they'll cut out the pieces where they're asking for peace, for peaceful protest, which is similar to what they did to Donald Trump as well with videos of that day.
I want to read some of the comments because someone said you can file bankruptcy when you own money to the courts. Again, I don't know how any of it works. You can go on Steve Crowder. I think that's where Alex Jones spoke today, but he did mention something about bankruptcy. I don't know. Don't quote me on this, but I heard it earlier today and he talked about it. So I'm not, his whole thing is that I don't have close to $1 billion to just pay these people. So this is the way that I think I'm going to navigate the process to be able to settle with the courts.
I love B's question. J6 is still going on, apparently, bro, until after the election. This is the ghetto that we're forced to exist
This is absolutely the ghetto. And by the way, guys, remember that we have midterm elections coming up. Vote early, vote in person. Make sure that you're informed because I'm sure that depending on your state, you're not
Well, I never say vote early because I'd prefer that people go on vote on election day.
You're right.
But if you know if you're a kind of person that you're going to forget and that you might get busy that day, then vote at any point in time. But I usually advocate for voting on the day of because ideally that's the way that it should be. It doesn't give them the preliminary access to voting numbers that could lead to questions later for the sake of keeping our channel and not being taken down.
And make sure that some of you, depending on your state or wherever you are, your county, you may have other, not just the governor and stuff like that, but also state reps and also senators. So make sure that you are informed. And check with your local GOP or whatever organization so that you know who to vote for. Because I've gotten so many DMs like, who do I vote for? What do I do? I'm actually going to post the GOP voting guide probably tomorrow. But just make sure that you do that because these elections are very important. I know they tell you every election's the most important election of your time. But it is. It is very important because there's a lot of things at stake. We're talking about them. I think they want to codify Roe v. Wade. There's a lot of things. Well,
this is also the opportunity for you to send out the message. We've been talking about this since 2020. All politics are local. You know, every major decision that has been made over the last couple of months that has affected your life, over the last couple of years, that has affected your life has come from local government. So if you're really upset about the state of your state, your county, how it is that you're forced to live your day-to-day life, that goes so much further than just who the president is. And it's really through the midterms that you get an opportunity to, you know, let them know I'm not having this anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I made the argument where there are seats being flipped all over the country. The preliminary election showed us that the voter turnout is going to be great. So just keep that in mind. I know that there is a huge psyop being ran on conservatives right now, convincing them that somehow it's not worth going out to the voting booth. And again, you know, I've got so much to say about
that. I've honestly blocked people like that. Like, I'm so tired of it.
I've got so much to say about it. But the single most obvious answer to that is, did anybody get the memo out to the Democrats that we're not showing up to vote? Because I can promise you that they're going to go out to vote. We still got 30 days before the election. And if you think that they're not going to drop some bomb that gets people all, you know, mobilized or some riots, you're wrong. There's 30 days. They're going to figure something out. And this idea where like, well, it doesn't matter if I show up or not. It absolutely does. Because again, the Democrats never got the memo that you're not showing up.
Right.
So they're going to show up in mass numbers. Mm-hmm. So please do your part. Please show up to vote. If you can't vote on election day, then yes, vote early, but just vote because it does matter. And to the people that say that it's like, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. We can't beat the system. Well, then explain 2016 to me. If we can't beat the system, then how did they allow him to win in 2016? So don't tell me that we can't overwhelm the system. Don't tell me that we can't overwhelm. I won't say the word S-H-E. So on, but they're traps and they're trickery. Don't tell me that we can't beat that when we've demonstrated that we can, especially before.
When you can take back your state and county. And I mean, we're seeing the uprising of people everywhere. I posted a video of Muslims in Dearborn, I think that's the name of the city in Michigan. And it turned a lot of heads. I mean, I'm not surprised because I haven't been programmed to hate Muslims and believe that they're insane. But most conservatives have past 9/11. And so there are so many negative comments on that post that I had to delete and block, actually, because they were so terrible. And I don't want to have that on my page, especially because of the way that social media is.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of Americans, especially conservative Americans, believe that you know, this minority predominantly votes Democrat because they agree with the Democrat ideals. And the reality is that very much like the Latino vote, they have been misinformed, right? How do I know this? Because the Muslims are predominantly culturally conservative. You see what's going on in Iran. You've seen what's happening in Afghanistan. You see the women still veiled here in America, wearing their hijabs and even sometimes burqas. So I am not surprised that these people are seeing what's going on in the schools with the LGBT indoctrination, with the transgender stuff, and saying enough is enough, and we're not going to support these people anymore. So instead of being negative Nancy's and saying, well, you know, they support Rashida Taliban, they support Rashida, like there was like 20 comments under my post talking about, well, they supported Rashida into Congress. It's like these people, okay, rewind. Why are you guys blaming a congresswoman in what happens at the school board level? Do you see how uninformed everybody is? Like, we don't talk about Carlos Jimenez or Maria Elvira Salazar, who are two Republicans in Congress in Miami-Dade, being responsible for what happens in the school district, because the school district is completely separate than the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. So why are you blaming this particular group of people and talking about, oh, well, they support Rashida Tlaib? It's like,
well, because the
She has nothing to do with what happens at the school level.
Well, first of all, it's two things. Number one, it's a lack of just understanding basic civics and how our country is set up, which is a huge problem, right? And I think that a lot of people weren't paying attention to local politics up until recently. It's why we don't shut the fuck up about it, because we understand that that is the key to taking back our country. Whether people are ready to admit that or not is beyond. It is the only way is through local government, how we're going to take back our country. And we have to be ready to play this game like the Chinese do. Meaning, if I don't get the country back for my, before I'm dead, then I'm going to make sure that I keep on fighting so that my kids' generations or my grandchildren can preserve the great American experiment, if you will.
And by the way,
lack of civics, number one,
lack of civics
is number one. And then number two, the fact that since 2001, there has been a great push by the media and, you know, politicians alike to create fear around Muslim faith and Muslim culture and associate that with one of the darkest days in American history. And I'm not talking about January 6th. Dude, one of the darkest days in American history, which was September 11th, and it's been a long term. We're talking about 20 years, this negative speech that has been happening against the Muslim community. And the truth is, you know, and Linda, who's a lot more informed on the Quran, can talk about it, but the Muslim faith is probably the most compatible, if you will, as far as like values goes, with Christianity. And before we go on that, three things, guys. First, thank you so much. I know that we have two. So the first one, Stacey, thank you so much for saving us from ever having to turn to the lizard people, which we never would with your $20 donation, and loving what we do. We appreciate you so much. And also to Adam, who says that we're both fire and told me that my eye placement is just fine. So not to trip.
This is good. This is good that you told her that, because she's been a little bit worried, right, Angel? She's been worried about her placement.
Make sure my eyes don't look too far apart.
Thank you, Adam. And also, Raina Johnson, thank you so much for your contribution. I don't know the question. If you can just type it on the chat, we'll take questions now for a few minutes before we log off. So just if Raina, if you can type it on the chat, that would be great. So yeah, any questions, guys? That would be amazing.
Guys, or topics that you feel the last couple of minutes. Inshallah, will win in November in 2020.
The Betsy Ross flag is considered a terrorist symbol by the FBI. Of course it is.
Yes.
By the way, it is also anti-Semitic to say that Jewish people killed Jesus Christ. It's not only in the ADL, it's actually not new. You know, it's in the definition by the State Department for anti-Semitism.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can't say that Christ was killed by...
No, okay. You can't say that. That's anti-Semitism. We're not anti-Semitic people. We love everybody. Just kidding. We hate everyone.
Equally.
But, okay. So, Annabella, what do you think of John Fetterman still running? I honestly have not paid attention to that race whatsoever. I've only paid attention to the Florida races. I do know that they are going really hard on John Fetterman, saying that he's not in the mental capacity to run, that he's sick, that I think he like wore some like John Fetter women shirt one time and stuff like that. So I'm sorry I can't be more help. I don't even know where he's running, what state. Maybe you can look that up. Let's see.
The next question is on thoughts on what Christian Walker said.
So, if you know, our last live, which you can still catch and you can replay, we talked about Christian Walker. We don't want to touch on this subject anymore. I think that, who knows, maybe his comments, you know,
helped
that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're paying attention to the numbers, after Christian's comments, Herschel actually had a surge in donations. So I don't think it's affected the running at all. If anything, people have showed out to support him more. It showed a human side of it. Listen, everybody's got family troubles. Understand, this isn't a big plot or conspiracy theory. Christian and his dad have problems like many other families. And if anything, I think it humanizes the relationship between Herschel and Christian, that they are just regular people.
Right. I think we did say that it's pretty insane that people
think that Christian Walker would do this for money, considering that Christian Walker's mom is married to a extremely wealthy, a wealthier than Herschel Walker. So I promise you that if it's a money situation.
For Francis Suarez for president by Kanye. So
Reina asked me, I was confused on your position on gay conservatives adopting children. I'm not for adoption of, I'm not for same-sex marriages, adoption of children, never have been actually ever. And I don't like to talk about it because I have a lot of gay friends who are conservative and I don't want them to feel bad. It's also not something that I'm like fighting to repeal or a dying hill for me. It's not something that I argue about or that I want to debate, you know. I don't find it okay.
Natural.
Right? I will say this. I'm a little bit more biased because to women, I think a little bit different than to males. I just find it extremely difficult that you won't have a maternal parent there. And that's not the only thing that I feel it's controversial and I have pretty wild thoughts about. I also don't like surrogacy for anyone, straight couples or same-sex marriages. I find it to be dystopian. I find it to be extremely weird, godless. When Cristiano Ronaldo did it with his son, I was like, what in the world is he doing? Oh, his mom's going to raise him. Okay, you still literally rented a woman's womb to raise your child when you could have just gotten your girlfriend pregnant and had a kid with her. But, you know, men are men. So that, if that answers your question, again, this is not a dying hill for me, but I just consciously, I don't agree with it. You know, what else? Let's see. Francis Suarez running for
and endorsed by Kanye.
Endorsed by Kanye. You know, that's one thing that I'll say about Kanye West is that I am a fan of his music, of his shoes, of his thought process, of many things. I've always been against him in politics because what ends up happening to people like Kanye who are very wealthy and are in this Hollywood is that they're completely disconnected from reality.
Right.
And so Kanye has positions against guns because Kanye walks around with his own armed security. So why does he care if somebody like me and Bella, who are, you know, women at night, are carrying?
Right.
Why does he care if somebody in Texas needs to protect her ranch with a semi-automatic weapon or an AR-15 or whatever it may be? To people like Kanye, you don't need to have guns because you just don't need to have guns. To people like Kanye, he looks at somebody like Francis Suarez and he's like, oh, well, this is a moderate person. Like Francis Suarez, like he's a Latino and, you know, he's a Republican, but he's also, you know, he also cares about the environment and he also cares about this. So Kanye isn't really necessarily versed in actual politics altogether enough, right. And legislation and all the insider BS. He's more of like the cultural forefront,
right? That so I think that yeah. Kanye always leads. Like Kanye respects when people mm-hmm. can take control of the culture, and whether or not we personally agree with Francis's politics mm-hmm. is irrelevant because Francis does take culture, and why wouldn't he? He's right. from Miami. He's got the Miami vibe. He's a good-looking guy. He's young. He's a Republican, mm-hmm. but he's not really a Republican, so it still makes him mm-hmm. popular with the young people. So I can see Kanye coming from a point of just, like, as a figure, as a, I don't want to call him a celebrity, but almost if you will, I guess there's like a new poly celebrity right. that's like, that's being born now after Donald Trump where politicians become celebrities. And I can see why he can see that in Francis and say, oh, maybe he'd be a good president. He's also right. a very charismatic guy. Like,
he is. He is not charismatic.
We don't even hate Francis.
Yeah, we don't even hate Francis so much, but he would be a huge rhino and he would be someone that would adopt a, you know, pro BLM justice system if he had to. He would be one to be like, here's the first transgender woman as my vice president. Like he's a social justice warrior. And he also doesn't take hard positions or anything, which is pretty weak to me because there's nuance to stuff, right? Like I can sit here and say there's nuance to this, there's nuance to that. The reality is that there's some things that we cannot compromise on, period. There's no nuance. There's certain things that the gun to me, after we have explained over and over again how many gun laws there actually are at the federal level and at the state level, there's no more of a conversation to me.
Right.
I'm done. You know, the simple fact that we have red flag laws is over for me. Francis Suarez doesn't seem to think that way. So it's actually very dangerous.
We don't consider him a Republican, in case there's any Democrats watching this. And they're like, oh, my favorite Republican is Francis. That's cheating. It doesn't count. Not really a Republican.
Somebody said renting a womb is a Catholic. No to that. Again, nothing to do with same-sex couples. I feel for straight couples, it's weird. I felt when Kim Kardashian and not Khloe Kardashian did
it. It's weird. There's women that don't have a choice, and it's an option that's out there, you know.
I guess if you don't have a choice, I would rather you do that than adopt, to be honest. I mean, adoption to me, I'm against adoption for myself.
I've seen, I have a niece that's adopted, and, you know, I just, again, there's, you don't love them any different. They're the same. Yeah. So I wish that the system was different.
Right.
I wish that adopting wasn't what it's turned into, which is that it does become a business through the state, right? Mm-hmm. I wish that was easier, but you know, I feel differently about it because I did see my mom grow up with issues. My stepmom was unable to have children, right. So there were things that options that they went through in order to make things happen. Which I guess just like that exposure and seeing how much she really wanted to be a mom makes me more open to the other ideals, you know.
Like I'm not against adoption for other people. I just wouldn't do it myself.
For yourself personally.
Like I don't sound like I'm against that.
Right.
Like just for me. Like I don't want to adopt. Right. You know, I have friends that are like, we're having one kid and then the second one is going to be adopted. And I'm like, good for you. Me, not personally, no. And then the last question we'll take, it says, what are your thoughts on Larry Elder running for office? I have no idea. I didn't even know he was running. To be honest,
Larry Elder said he was again running some time ago. I mean, I didn't.
He lost the reelect against Newsom.
Oh, so is he running again?
I guess.
I mean, you know what, with Larry, and I think that it's interesting because we just saw it now with Tulsi as well, and I think that those are all political moves. When you get these big like shifts in political ideology and somebody like leaves and they're like, I'm leaving the party and I no longer associate or whatever. Like, I just feel like a lot of that is just like chess and like political wars where it's like, you know, we're going to use this person to highlight. But I wasn't aware that he was running again
locally. I had no idea because I thought he lost. And
Tadeo, somebody said tight local race, Tadeo or Salazar. Listen,
obviously,
to me.
We're going to have to do
you
Salazar.
You have to go with Salazar. And I, you know,
there ain't a thing we could do about
it. There's nothing we can do about it because you sure as shit are not going to annette Tadeo.
Yeah, she's crazy.
So I'd rather have the monster that I know than the one that I don't. And at least at minimum, I know that I agree with some things on Maria Elvira, even though I do feel like she's got no backbone and she hasn't really stood on her conservative anti-communism values that helped get her elected. I feel even though that's the case, I'd much rather have her than to have a Democrat. So, you know, I have no reason why to talk about her prior to an election. Once she's already elected, you'll probably hear me talk about it for the next 4 years until it comes time to primaries. But, you know, this was something that we saw and people love to criticize this. They'll call her a rhino. But guys, nobody ran a true campaign against her in the primaries. So we can't get mad. You get what you get and you don't get upset.
Or Marco Rubio. Are you going to have Marco Rubio or Val Demings, who's a super pro-abortionist and socialist, completely deranged person? Like, I'm going to vote for Rubio.
They're asking if Val Demings is going to beat Rubio. I doubt it. You guys have no... Marco Rubio, whether or not people consider him a rhino, which I very much do, is completely irrelevant. He is one of the most powerful politicians, one of the most influential, and is a powerhouse when it comes to raising money for his campaigns. So yeah, Val Demings has a lot of these like NGO money, union money that's behind her, but Marco Rubio is still a powerhouse, which is why time and time again, come election season, there's nobody that runs against him. And it's not because there's not people that are tired of his politics, it's because of the overwhelming support that he does receive in the areas that vote for him.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we are now closing our, what is it? At the end of our live stream.
At the end of our live stream.
Getting used to it. So thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button and share and like our videos and support us. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. And thank you
so much
for joining us.
and joining us. That support is so, I mean, lives are brand new for us. So we're just so excited that we get to share that with you and that you guys show us our support and interacting with you guys in the comments is freaking awesome. So don't forget,
love we'll you be guys. Here again Thank next you. Week.
Bye.